Good evening, everyone. We're glad to see you at our evening gospel service on this Mother's Day. We appreciate your presence with us in the Lord's house. 265, please, is our opening hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. So hymn 265, and we'll invite you to stand as we sing together, please. Bow together just in prayer. Let's just seek the Lord's face. We want to give the meeting tonight into the Lord's hands. Ask that he'll guide us through it. And pray that he'll be pleased to bless the meeting tonight in every part. Father in heaven, we come to thee at the throne of grace. Praise thee for the privilege we have. Thank you for your mercy that allows us, enables us to draw nigh to thee in the attitude of prayer. We want to pray, Father, that you'll come and guide us now, even in our prayers. We feel our need. We ask for the promptings and the leadings of the Spirit of God. We bow, Father, before thee to give thee tonight the worship of our hearts. We remember that thou art God, that thou alone art God, and beside thee there is none other. We remember that you're the one that has made all things, that without thee was not anything made that was made. We remember, Father, and acknowledge that you're our maker. You're the one that has made us. And Lord, we remember, even as our maker, you're the one that sustains us. You give us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. We look out upon the vastness of this universe and we remember that you're the one that upholds all things by the word of your power. And Father, as we consider all these things, we want to say, even in the words of the hymn writer, how great thou art. And we pray, Father, as we're gathered in your house tonight, that you'll close out the things of this life, shut out from our minds all the things of this world. We acknowledge, Father, how easy it is to sit in a meeting such as this, and yet our hearts and our minds are so far away, taken up with mundane things, not focusing upon the things of God. So, Lord, we want to pray that you'll come upon us tonight, take away from our hearts every consideration of all of the things of this life and the things of this incoming week. We would ask, Father, give us a sight of thyself. We want to pray, show us thyself tonight and show us thy glory. Take away the scales from our eyes. We pray that you'll draw back the veil a little on eternity and the things of God. We pray that you'll give us the experience of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So, Father, it is for such a sight of thee tonight that we would pray. We want to thank you for the words that we have sung together. How marvelous and how wonderful is our Saviour's love to me. Lord, we acknowledge how easy it is to sing those words, and yet to sing them, Father, without consideration of the great truths of which we're singing. We pray, Father, save us. Save us tonight, save us ever when we come to your house, from drawing nigh to God with our lips, and yet our hearts are far away from thee. We pray, Father, that we'll never lose the wonder of the greatness of your love. We pray, Father, that we would never cease to be amazed and our hearts be touched when we think of how marvelous that love was, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. I want to pray, Father, in this meeting tonight that you'll touch our hearts. We pray that you'll come upon us. We pray that we'll know the touch of God. We sometimes sing those words, "He touched me." And Father, we pray for such a meeting. May the touch of God be upon this gathering this evening. May the touch of God be upon every person that's present. Lord, we want to have a meeting with God tonight. We want to have an experience with God this evening that we've never known, never had before. We remember that experience of Jacob at Peniel, and he wrestled with the angel until the breaking of the day. And we remember how you touched Jacob that night in the hollow of his thigh, and that he limped and his walk was never the same again. And Lord, we would ask for such a meeting, even with God tonight, that you'll touch us in such a manner that our walk with thee would never be the same again. We would walk differently after this meeting, that our walk with God would be different. We pray for a closer walk, even with thyself. We pray, Father, for those in the meeting not right with God. We thank you for bringing them along to this service and those that are listening to the stream, the live broadcast of the meeting. And Lord, we think of the opportunity given to us as a church, even to to preach the gospel to the very ends of the earth, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We ask thee to use the broadcast too. But all, Father, that are in the meeting and listening that are not right with thee, we want to pray that their heart might be touched tonight. We pray that you might speak to them. We want to pray, Father, that they'll be concerned about their spiritual condition, their soul, the fact that they're not right with God. And Lord, we're asking as a church that you'll bring to us again regularly, even weekly, those times, those days when after every meeting, every gospel service, there'll be those that will be anxious about eternity, those that will be desirous to be guided from the scriptures, how they might experience salvation and obtain eternal life. Oh God, it is for such days, it is for such times that we plead for tonight. We commit the meeting just to thee now, spread it out before thee, especially our sister Andrea, she will come to testify to us. We rejoice in the day that you saved her sister, and we thank you for her service for thee in this church. Pray that you'll continue to use her. We ask that she'll be helped tonight. We pray that she'll know the Lord's nearness, even in the pulpit as she speaks. We pray, Father, that you'll give her even that freedom to speak tonight that only comes from the aid of the Holy Ghost. We pray that you'd speak through her sister. We pray, Father, that as she will testify, that we will know the Lord is speaking. We pray, Father, the work will be done. We pray the testimony might be used. We pray that there will be some in the meeting tonight that will be able to identify with the things that our sister speaks about. We remember, Father, how in the scriptures Paul often gave us testimony and used it as a means of evangelizing and witnessing for Christ. So we ask thee, Father, use the testimony tonight, even as we sing the hymns. Your word says we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in our hearts. So we ask thee, Lord, speak even through the hymns as we sing of Christ and of his cross work, as we sing of his redemption and of his salvation and all the great blessing of the knowledge and joy of sins forgiven. We pray, Father, there'll be those tonight and that those truths will challenge them, that they'll have a longing and a desire just to have that in their own heart and in their own life. Help us, Lord, through this week, all the challenges, all the demands. We need the strength of God. We need your aid, Father, through this week. So we ask for this congregation, every meeting, every brother and sister, their varying circumstances. May they know the presence of God with them and the blessing of God in all its fullness resting upon them. Lord, hear our prayers and abide with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 322, please. I hear the Saviour say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. We'll leave out the second verse, and we're going to remain seated, please. So 322, the verses 1, 3, and 4, keeping our seats as we sing.
Jesus.
alone. Just some verses, please, from Hebrews chapter 12. Just a short reading of the scriptures. We invite you to take the word of God and turn to the portion and follow in the reading. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, beginning to read at the first verse. And let us hear the word of the Lord. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We're just going to close there. The end of verse 7, that short reading from the scriptures. And we're sure tonight the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. On behalf of the elders, the session, the oversight of this church, we welcome all along to our evening gospel service. We're thankful for your presence and your fellowship with us in the gospel this evening. We have several visiting with us for this special testimony meeting. We want to bid you particularly welcome to the Lord's house this evening. We pray that this meeting will be a blessing. You'll be encouraged by every part of it, and that you'll be encouraged by the time of fellowship with the congregation here. It's good to have all of the children and young people that have come along to the Lord's house this Sabbath evening. We want to assure you that we're thankful and encouraged by your presence with us. And as a church, we want to encourage you in your regular and faithful attendance of the word of or the house of the Lord right throughout your life. We also welcome those that are watching the service tonight on the live stream. We're thankful that we're able to broadcast these meetings, and we pray that the broadcast will be a help and a blessing. If you're watching from this local community, we want to invite you and urge you to come along to the actual services themselves. Just remind you of the meetings here in the incoming week, some activities in the wider denomination as well that are coming up very soon. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 is the meeting of the church committee, meeting downstairs in the church hall. Tuesday night at 6:45, the two children's bright hours for the children, for the young people. The bright hour here in the church hall, and then the outreach children's bright hour down in the village of Killaloe in the band hall there. Remember, Wednesday night at 8, our midweek prayer meeting for prayer and Bible study this Wednesday. The midweek service will be a missionary deputation. Mr. Glenn Hamilton from our Ballymena congregation accepted by the presbytery as an outgoing missionary to Kenya. He will be coming to tell us of the leading of the Lord over many years in his life, the burden he's had for missionary work, and how the Lord confirmed to him and his wife last summer that Kenya was the place that the Lord would have them go to serve him. So he will give that report. He'll show his deputation video to us. He'll set before us some prayer requests as well. So I want to encourage a good number to be present. You'll be blessed to hear our brother speak. Remember, there will be a missionary offering taken that will go towards our brother's support. So please come prepared to give to that offering. Friday night at 8 o'clock is the Youth Fellowship. This Friday night, it is our Youth Council's zone prayer meeting, the spring zone prayer meeting for the fellowships here in our area. They're going to be meeting this time in the church here in Armagh. Remember that they go round the various churches in our area in Rota. So it's come round to Armagh again. The neighbouring fellowships, some of the young people will be with us. I'll be speaking at that meeting myself. So we encourage all of the young people to come along, and we encourage the congregation to pray for the young people too, for the Lord's blessing to be upon the season of prayer. Next Lord's Day, St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March. Remember, it is the 73rd anniversary of the founding of our denomination. Remember that the presbytery has set up a committee to prepare for the 75th anniversary in a couple of years' time. So I pray that they will know the Lord's guidance, and Dr. Johnson has been appointed convener of that committee. But remember the services here next Sabbath day, 10:40 our Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning service. Remember, as I mentioned this morning, I'll be down in Corrigarry next Sunday morning for the service there. The preacher here will be Mr. Jonathan Eccles. Jonathan is a fourth-year theological student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. So we encourage you to come to hear Jonathan. I know that you'll be blessed by his ministry. 6:30 is our evening gospel service, and I plan to be here to lead and to preach at that service myself. So remember all the meetings, and do especially remember the seasons of prayer before both services. Just remind you that Monday week, the 18th, is the bank holiday for St. Patrick's Day. So the parent and toddler group, which would normally take place that morning, and the ladies' fellowship, the monthly meeting that would be that evening, have both been moved to the following Monday. So that is Monday the 25th of March. The parent and toddler group will be in the morning as usual at 10, and the ladies' meeting in the evening at 8. That's on the 25th of March. So please take note of those changes. Sunday night the 25th, so that's this night 2 weeks, at 6:30 in the evening, is our annual parents' night for both our children's bright hours. So the children from the church here in Killalea will be present. They prepare a little program for us, so they will take part in the service. We always look forward to that. We want to encourage all family members and friends to come along to that service. Our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell from Cumber. Robert is a children's evangelist here in the province under our mission board, and he will be our guest speaker at the service that night. And there will be supper after the meeting for everyone as well, and a time of fellowship. The annual missionary council offering that was taken last Lord's Day, the total so far is £1,070. We thank you sincerely for giving so liberally. Remember, you can still give or add to that offering if you haven't been able to do so as yet. Put the envelope in the plate and just mark it for the missionary council. Remember that we are planning a gospel mission for the summer. We want just to give some further details of the arrangements that have been made by the session for those meetings. The dates of that mission will be Monday the 3rd until the Lord's Day the 16th of June. It will start the Monday evening after our Children's Day. Children's Day will be on the Lord's Day the 2nd. We didn't feel it would be appropriate to start the mission on Children's Day, so the Monday night following the 3rd, and we'll run the 2 weeks then up until the 16th. Meetings will be held in the Cooey Orange Hall, just outside the village of Tynan. There's good car parking facilities, so if there's an overflow at some of the meetings and not everybody's able to get into the hall, we'll arrange for some speakers, and the meetings will be able to be broadcast into the cars, and you can hear the service on the car radio. You remember that we did that at the drive-in meetings a couple of years ago at Woodview during the pandemic, during the restrictions that were in place. So the preachers will be the Reverend Jonathan Crane from the Convoy Church and myself. We ask you to note the dates and the mission. We encourage even the visitors tonight, if you would do that, we would be glad of your support too. Seek to keep those dates free, and please make the mission known, but especially be much in prayer for the Lord's blessing. Remember, the latest edition of our denominational magazine, The Vision, is available. There are copies in the porch. Even if you're a visitor, feel free to take a copy as you're leaving the service tonight. Just to emphasize that on Friday night, that's Friday the 15th, at 8 o'clock, the installation of the Reverend Paul Foster will take place as the new minister of the Mourne Church down in Kilkeel. Our brother accepted the call that he received at the February Presbytery in Mull of Glass. If you can't attend the meeting there, but especially pray for the Reverend Foster as he takes up his ministry, pray for the Mourne Church, and pray for the Dromore Church. Our brother was previously the minister of the Dromore Church, so as they enter into a time of vacancy, and Dr. Johnson has been appointed as the interim moderator of the Dromore Church during the vacancy. Also remember the Reverend Jonathan Storey, ordained on Friday evening as the new minister of the Mount Merion congregation, and pray the Lord will give him encouragements early in his ministry there. The annual historical lecture, organised by the Historical Committee of our Presbytery, that will be this Friday night, Friday the 15th of March at 8 as well. The Reverend Peter McIntyre will be the speaker. It'll be held in our Dungannon congregation, a central location, and it's been held this year on the subject, or the Reverend McIntyre will speak on the subject of the Land of Giants, 2,000 years of Irish history. Just remind you at the Mission Board's youth camps. There's now two youth camps because of the interest in those each summer, held over at the Moyallan Centre outside Portadown. Still some places available, especially for the first camp. That's between the 29th of July and the 2nd of August, and the age group is 8 to 12. The price is £140. That is subsidised by the board to help parents to send their children along. So if you're interested in your children attend, avail of those free, or the places that are still available, and the full details are on the Mission Board's website. The Kerskadden family that are labouring in Uganda, they will be coming home, God willing, this Tuesday. They leave on Tuesday, be home on Wednesday. They're coming home for some weeks' holidays. They've been 9 months out there on the field. So they'll be here in the province over the Easter period. So do remember them as they travel, the time of refreshment. Remember Miss McAfee as she continues there on the mission station and all the responsibilities. The building work in Uganda, that's the building of the new accommodation compound. That work started yesterday. The builder came on site on Friday, brought in some mechanical machinery to help clear the site. So they've made a very good start yesterday. And there's another machine coming tomorrow to dig some trenches. They're going to do the work in two stages, put in the road, put in all the ducting necessary for the utilities, and build the wall for the actual compound itself. The builder estimates that that'll take maybe 7 weeks or thereabouts, up to about the end of April. And then the second stage will be the building of the house or houses, depending on where the fund, the appeal is at that stage. We would like to be able to build the two houses together. It certainly would be much simpler, and it would be easier too if the two houses went up together. It would mean the Macaulays wouldn't be living on the building site later when the second house would be erected. So remember that work. We value very much your prayers and your support, and remember the Mission Board's appeal for that building project. I mentioned to you this morning Dr. Cook's 95th birthday and those that went down, the officers of Presbytery and so on. Very nice time with him. I omitted to mention too that we did send Dr. Cook a card on behalf of the congregation here and assured him and Mrs. Cook both of our continued prayers for them just at this very difficult time. But we're delighted that the Lord has spared his servant to see his 95th birthday. So continue to remember them in your prayers as well. We'll ask you to take your hymn book once again, 311, Fanny Crosby's great hymn of testimony. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, and born of his spirit, and washed in his blood. So 311, standing to sing, please. In our message this morning, we emphasised the importance of the role of the mother and the grandmother and so on. Sadly, that role is not viewed as importantly today in our society as it ought to be. We thank the Lord for the blessing of every Christian mother. May the Lord encourage each one in this congregation tonight and every mother connected with the families of this congregation. We have for a number of years, on the evening of Mother's Day, invited a mother generally from the congregation to give a personal word of testimony. And we've always enjoyed those testimonies, the blessing that they've been. It helps to bring the various families of our church before the congregation and encourages us to pray for those families and their needs. And we're thankful tonight to our sister, Mrs. Andrea Nicholson, for undertaking to testify for us this evening on this Mother's Day. So we're going to ask our sister if she will come just now and speak to us and give that word of testimony, please.
You'll maybe forgive me for not looking up too much. Just to forgive me. Firstly, I'd like to thank Mr. McMillan for the invitation to testify, but I'll probably be even more thankful when I'm sitting back down there again. Many people think, oh, she's a teacher, she'll be fine, she'll be a good public speaker, but I can tell you it's very much the opposite. I'm not a public speaker, and I'm a nervous wreck. I'm actually quite a private person, and so I feel completely out of my depth tonight. And probably some of the things that I might mention tonight may even be some news to some of my family members. But just to let you see how God has guided and helped me and encouraged me, I think it's important that I don't leave any of them out. So to start my testimony tonight, I firstly want to give thanks to God that I have a testimony to give, and to give him thanks for his leading and his guiding in my life. There are two verses that I'd like to leave with you from the Bible. There's no need to turn to them, but these are verses that I have repeatedly turned to over the years, and they've been very important to me. The first one is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, where it says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." And this was a verse that I repeatedly turned to as a young Christian going through school. The second is a favourite verse of mine, and it's one that I have continued to lean on throughout my adult life, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I, like so many others here, had the privilege of being born into a Christian home on the 27th of March 1984. So just to save you the bother, there's a big birthday approaching. Both of my parents were saved, so they made sure that we knew that we needed to be saved from a very young age. And I remember going to any and every children's meeting, church service, holiday Bible club that there was on in the area. We went to Tullyvallen Free Presbyterian Church at that time, and we were sent along to Sunday school, and we went to church twice every Sunday, and that's something that I think is so vital, and we strive to do the same with Sam and Amelia. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We were also sent along to Brethren Sunday School on a Sunday afternoon. We attended children's meetings in Katy on Tuesdays, where Gillian Gillespie was one of the leaders before she went to Kenya. And we even went to the Friday Club in the local Presbyterian Church. And like so many others, I can say that there was absolutely never a time in my life that I don't remember not knowing that I needed to ask Jesus into my heart if I ever wanted to get to heaven. My childhood was a happy childhood. I grew up on a farm, and we had fantastic times building dens and caves and tunnels in the hay bales. Brilliant memories of trying to catch sheep that needed to be dosed, and when you're about 7 or 8 and you're years old, and you just run and jump on and you hold on for dear life, and the sheep would drag you around the shed, and it was great times. But I'm sure even my family, some of them don't know that as a young child of 6 or 7, I had many thoughts about death and about being terrified of dying. As many of you know, the church in Tullyvallen is right on the border. And 30, 35 years ago, there was still quite a heavy army presence in the area. Many nights as we were driving to church, the soldiers would have been walking down the road. There had been two shootings in the area in the past, and although they had happened before I was born, I had known about them, and there was many times I sat in church, especially at night time, thinking, right, if someone comes through the door and starts shooting, where will I go? Where will I hide? Will I get down fast enough? Daddy's sitting at the end of the row. Will they get him? And, you know, I don't think I ever told Mum or Dad that I had those fears. But I always felt safe when the army were outside. Another poignant memory of when I was afraid of dying was in March 1992, when the Tullyvallen Church organised a two-week gospel mission at our home in a wooden hut. And I have to say that at that mission, I definitely felt under a great conviction of sin. I remember pretty much every night walking down the lane to our house and going to bed and literally just crying my eyes out, praying, please don't let me die, please don't let me die. And at the same time, being too afraid to say anything to anyone. And so I let that opportunity slip me by. I also enjoyed primary school, well, for a while anyway, I guess. I enjoyed the early parts of my primary school experience up until the last 2 years. Two things happened around that time which unfortunately caused my primary school experience to have more of a negative impact on my life at that time. And unfortunately, to be honest, it probably still does have an effect to a certain degree on me today. Now, I should clarify that neither of the things that happened were actually negative. They were good things, they were great things, but it was just the response of other people to me that had a lasting impact. I can remember, don't remember the year, but I was about 9 or 10, and the church in Tullyvallen bought a little building just outside Castleblaney, less than half a mile from my school, as an outreach. And that was great for the church, but unfortunately it wasn't great for me. I went from having what I thought were great friends in school to being bullied quite severely. And unfortunately, it went on a wee while before I told anyone. And it only really came out because I think my mum and all noticed I was losing weight. The bullying started off as jokes, like, oh, she's a big man, he just arrived with his checkbook, and he took it out and wrote a check and paid for it there and then. But those jokes stopped then. Some of my friends got nasty, ignoring me. Things like, you give them a Christmas card and they rip it up in your face and throw it in the bin. And it was just hard as a young child, 9, 10 years old. School became a place where I hated, and I hated going. But Mum explained to me that it was nothing to do with me. It was just a result of the things that these girls had heard at home by their parents, who obviously just didn't want the Free Presbyterians moving to Castleblaney. They were just bringing it into school, and it was obviously then impacting me. But unfortunately, the devil knows my weakness, and from that experience even to now, I still get anxious when people, or I tell people what church I go to. And I'm reminded of the verse that I quoted earlier, Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with thee. In May 1995, my mum and dad held their annual children's mission in our home, and that was always a very successful week. It was generally over about 70 children packed into our living room, and our living room is not big. Joyce Walsh was always the speaker, and it was at that mission that I became convicted of my sin again. But it wasn't until the Friday afternoon, the 19th of May, when I eventually plucked up the courage to speak to Joyce, and Joyce very clearly and simply explained what I needed to do and led me in the sinner's prayer, and I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sin. You know, the relief was instant, and I was so thankful that I didn't have to worry anymore about dying. That fear left me. And Joyce told me it was very important to tell people. So obviously I started with my family, and that was always going to be a happy conversation, a happy response. However, when I went back to school on Monday, I plucked up the courage to tell 3 friends outside in the playground that I had got saved. And their response was not at all what I was expecting, because they just laughed. They laughed. And they said, saved from what? Your mummy giving you a smack? And, you know, the confidence just came right out of me there and then, and it took a real hit. And I know again now that that was the devil. And still from that, he uses it against me. And I've always found it extremely hard to pluck up the courage to tell anyone that I'm a Christian. But actually now as an adult, I probably feel more guilt more than anything, because I know I have missed numerous opportunities to witness to my friends. And I know I shouldn't fear man or anything that he should say, because I have the Lord on my side. It says in Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I fear? After primary school, I started the Collegiate in Monaghan. It was the only Protestant secondary school in the county. And I have to say, I could not wait to get to secondary school, just for the main reason that I knew there would be more people. And I was sure there had to be other Christians, and that I wouldn't be on my own, and that I would have friends again, friends that I could trust. And you know, it was such an answer to prayer. God did provide me with some Christian friends at school, but also with non-Christian friends, but that they were still open to attending youth meetings and going to Christian camps and things like that. So I definitely didn't feel that I was an oddball. I definitely felt that I fitted in a little bit more, and that was much needed in my life at that point. Now, in the South, the main sport for girls is basketball, and so I got onto the basketball team. And our team was quite successful, and we did eventually go to the All-Ireland playoffs and finals. But one year we got to the playoffs in Cork for the weekend, but unfortunately some of those matches were going to take place on Sunday. And that's when some problems started to develop again for me. The Board of Governors of the school decided that, well, the school had never gotten this far before in the tournament, and so the team would be put forward and they would play the matches on the Sunday. So that left me in an awkward situation. I wasn't going to play on the Sunday, and thankfully two other team members stood with me. Unfortunately, two of the girls who bullied me at primary school were also on the team, and so they raised their heads again, and I took the brunt of their nasty comments. Probably one of the nicest things that they said was, well, sure, if you don't want to play on the Sunday, you can go and sit in the corner and read your Holy Bible. Anyway, the decision was made that we would go to Cork, and I went to Cork with the team and played on the Fridays and Saturday matches. And then on the Sunday evening, the coach put myself and the other girls on the train in Cork, and we headed to Dublin. And that was quite an undertaking as a 13, 14-year-old girl. Completely out of our comfort zone, from wee country bumpkins to going from Cork to Dublin. Needless to say, God took care of us and he kept us safe, and Mum met us at the station in Dublin. But you know, I was reminded, and someone quoted it to me at the time, of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And it says there, "Them that honour me, I will honour." And those that stay behind in Cork were pretty much annihilated in that Sunday match. But I would encourage you all here tonight to pray, and to pray continually for the children and young people, for young Christians at school. If I faced those things 30 years ago, you can be sure that there are many now facing a lot worse, and they need your support and your prayer. So I would encourage you to do that. It was also during my secondary school years that I started to serve the Lord, and I helped out at children's meetings in our church, and I was on the committee for the Scripture Union in school. And every August, from I was 16 and for the next 10 years after that, I was a leader at Cormaine Camp in Monaghan, which was run by the Christian Bookshop. I also had the opportunity to go to Kenya with FAME, Friends of Africa Mission Endeavour, and when I was 18, and I thoroughly enjoyed that mission trip, and it was a real eye-opener for me. And I would encourage any young person here tonight to get involved in some way to serve the Lord. Helping out at children's meetings, at holiday Bible clubs, is always a great place to start. I now teach Sunday school, and I have done so for the last 8 years, and I love being able to share Bible stories with the boys and girls and teaching them about how much Jesus loves them and that he died on the cross for them. Sixth form and uni applications came around, and the only place I wanted to go to was Stromillis. I wanted to be a primary school teacher from when I was about 5 years old. But unfortunately, I did not get accepted for the primary course, and I was devastated. I thought my whole world had collapsed in on me. But thankfully, as one door closes, another opens, and God had prepared a way for me, slightly different to the one that I wanted. And I was reminded of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." God had plans already for me, and although I didn't get accepted into the primary school teaching, I got accepted into secondary, and so I started Stromillis in 2003, where I trained to be a geography teacher. And my years at Stromillis were some of the very happiest of my life. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. I made amazing Christian friends, friends for life, friends that I hold dear, that have gotten me through some hard times. And I know people always say your school days are your best days, but for me it was definitely my university days. And I make a point of going to Scripture Union on that first night, nailing my colours to the pole, as it were, and what a blessing that was. Now, I suppose this really should bring Alan into this story. I've known Alan my whole life. My mum often jokes that she knew Alan long before she knew me. And we'd went to the same church, our families were friendly. His younger sister and I were good friends. And Alan is a few years older, so he was my friend's older brother. He was the one who drove us to the socials and to the after-church youth rallies. But feelings developed, even though I knew he was a farmer. And I prayed for months that if he wasn't the man for me, that God would take my feelings away and bring someone new into my life. But God was teaching me patience, and I did have to wait a little while. Now, Alan thinks he made the first move, but he doesn't quite remember it the way that I do. But anyway, in August 2007, I became a farmer's wife, which is something I said I would never, ever do. As we started our happily ever after, I don't think either of us ever quite imagined the challenges that we would face. I had my whole life planned out. I'd have a full-time job, I'd have four children, and I'd be planning on having them all before I turned 30. I came from a family of four, Alan came from a family of five. Alan runs the family farm, so we needed an heir, and we needed a spare maybe. And I'd no reason to think that my plans wouldn't turn out the way that I wanted them to. But again, I'm reminded of Isaiah 55:8, "My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord." And as time went on, we both grew more and more anxious. Friends and family members were starting their families and we weren't. So after we both had many tests done and things like that, doctors came back basically saying we had about 1,000,000-to-1 chance of getting pregnant. So to hear that was hard. It was very hard, devastating even. But a very short time after that, the Reverend McMillan preached a sermon on patience. And one of the points that he had made was that God could be saying to you to wait so that you would rely on him more. And that message really spoke to me. It really challenged me about how much I was relying on God and how much I was relying on myself and on doctors and all of that. And there and then in that service, I prayed that God would forgive me for my unbelief and that I would put my faith more fully in God, trusting that he would provide and that he would answer our prayers in his own time. But you know, the devil is always there waiting for any opportunity. And after a few more years of worry, anxiety, fear started to slip back in. And unfortunately, to my shame, I became angry with God. I questioned why God was not answering my prayers. My prayers were consumed with pleading with God to allow us to have a family. God had seemingly answered our prayers when I got pregnant in the summer of 2013. And we were over the moon, but unfortunately our joy was short-lived, and after feeling that something wasn't quite right, at 7 weeks I had a scan and was told there was no heartbeat and that I would have a miscarriage. To say that I was heartbroken is an understatement. I don't think there are any words to fully describe how I was feeling. It was gut-wrenching at that time, and I moved into a dark place. Very few people knew what was going on, so he painted a smile on my face and carried on. I found church to be one of the most difficult places to be in. There were many Sundays I struggled to hold back the tears during the singing of the hymns. Dedications, as you could imagine, were not easy. I just felt that God had abandoned me. But a very godly and dear friend who is now in heaven came to me at work one day, and she handed me a little heart with a verse on it. And the verse said, "The Lord is faithful to all his promise and loving towards all he has made." And Deborah said to me that day, she says, "This is for you. I don't know why this is for you, but it's for you." And I just broke down, and I realized there and then that God had not abandoned me. He was just waiting on me to turn to him and to trust him fully. So when Sam was born in 2015, the hurt and the heartache of the previous 6 or 7 years just melted away. Our prayers had been answered, and our house finally became a home. But unfortunately, our heartache didn't end there. And in March 2016, after a week after finding out I was expecting, I started to get really sharp pains in my left side. So we went to Daisy Hill A&E, where it was confirmed that yes, I was pregnant, but they couldn't find the baby. They suspected that I had experienced an ectopic pregnancy, but they needed to be sure, so they monitored me every 48 hours for that week, where they then confirmed that awful news. So basically what that meant was that the baby had not attached in the correct place. It was in my left fallopian tube, which is the thickness of a nib of a pen. and the only solution was to operate, to remove the tube and to remove my baby. They said that the rate at which the pregnancy hormone was increasing showed that the baby was thriving and that they expected fully that within the week the tube would erupt, the baby would be gone, and if that happened, my life would be in danger if they couldn't get me to theatre in time. There was zero chance of a positive outcome. The baby had already attached and it couldn't be detached or moved. The tube would burst and there was no other option. However, I still had to sign the papers to allow the doctors to remove the tube and effectively kill my baby, which I have to say was the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. And all other situations in my life to that point were insignificant in comparison. And yet again, the devil never missed an opportunity, and he created doubts, and I questioned God. Why would he let yet another awful thing happen to me? I couldn't understand what I had ever done that was so awful to deserve such pain. But I was reminded of the verse in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, unto you, that ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And although I don't understand any of it, I know that it will all become clear when I get to heaven. But you know, after every storm there's a rainbow. And we have our little rainbow and Miracle Amelia, who arrived 3 years later. God has blessed us with two wonderful miracles, and they are the best gift. And I am so thankful to God every day for them. I'm not quite sure what my life would have been like without them. God in his mercy and his grace has provided for us. His plan was different to mine. I said earlier I would have liked to have four children, and I do believe I've had my four. I have two here on earth, and I fully believe I have two in heaven who I will meet someday. And as a mother, I had the greatest pleasure of leading Sam to the Lord in salvation when he was four. But just to bring you right up to date, after my maternity leave with Amelia, I decided to take a 2-year career break from work. I had been working in Drumglass High School in Dungannon as the head of geography there, and had been there for about 10 years. And I loved many aspects of my job, but there were many aspects I don't think the general public actually realise. And with two small children in the house, I just felt I needed to take some time out to be a mummy, and not only that, maybe be a farmer's wife. So during my career break, I felt that God was leading me to make some major changes. And so after much prayer, I took a leap of faith and I resigned from my permanent job, the job that I'd fought for. And for the last 2.5 years, I have been subbing in both primary and high schools, no further than 10 miles from my home. And week after week, the Lord has provided work and plenty of work for me. You know, I've failed God many times, but he has never failed me. He has kept me and he has sustained me. And as I finish, I just want to leave a verse of a hymn with you as well. It's one that was actually sang at our wedding, and you know, I didn't realise when we were singing it then at our wedding that it would have such an impact or mean so much to me now. But it's, though troubles assail and dangers are fright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the scripture assures us the Lord will provide. So as I conclude, I just want to encourage you all here that if and when the trials and the tribulations come, whether they be big or small, that you turn to God to be your rock and your anchor, to search the scriptures and trust in him, and he will guide you through. Amen.
We appreciate very much Andrea's testimony tonight. We appreciate very much her undertaking to give her testimony, to tell the story. We understand the pain of many of those experiences and how difficult just to relay them, to speak of them in a meeting like this, to speak of them publicly. So we thank her for speaking to us tonight. A mother's testimony. The struggles, sometimes the pains, the great heartache that a mother faces and passes through. We have learnt a little of that tonight. It helps us to be a little more sympathetic, to the challenges that families face and mothers have to face and go through as well. And those of you that have been through some of those experiences, I can not just sympathise but empathise. You can enter in to that experience and know full well just all that our sister has spoken about this evening. We are sure that the Lord has touched her hearts tonight as she has testified, the clear word of testimony that has been given. We rejoice that she came to Christ early in life. And we would want to urge upon all the young people here this evening that you would do the same. Don't wait until later. Remember, there's no time that we're sure of other than today. The importance of coming to Christ today, immediately. Don't just give your heart to Christ. Give your life to him as well. Succumb to the Saviour early in life. I was thinking as she mentioned that she believes the Lord gave to her those four children, two on earth and two in heaven. You know the story of Job. You know all the experiences that Job passed through, that immense time of trial, what suffering he experienced, what lows, what great pain of heart. Lost his entire family, seven sons and three daughters. You remember the end of the story? When it was that the Lord turned the captivity of Job and put his hand of blessing upon him. And the scriptures tell us right at the end of the book that the Lord gave to Job twice. He gave to him double all that he had before. The sheep, the donkeys, the camels, and so forth. He doubled all of those things in the life of Job. But he gave him just another seven sons and three daughters. The same number that he had before. Didn't double the number of his children. And most of the commentators, if you take time to read what they say about that, most of them are agreed that the reason for that was that he had double the children. He had 10 children in heaven, and the previous seven sons and three daughters, and 10 children, 10 now new children on earth. So it's the very same thought, the very same truth that our sister mentioned. We do believe, even when little infants pass from this scene of time, that the Lord makes special provision for those little ones. It is even recorded in the Westminster Confession in the section under effectual calling. If you're interested in that, I encourage you to look into it. Mr. Spurgeon, when he was preaching in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, preached a sermon entitled Infant Salvation. It's a very interesting message. I commend it to you. It's very, very helpful, very, very encouraging, even very challenging, especially to parents that are still out of Christ, that your little one has gone on before you, gone to heaven, and the only way that you will ever see that little one again is if you too go to heaven, if you come yourself to trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Remember, God is sovereign, and God can work where and as he chooses. The Bible says of John the Baptist that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That is an exception to the rule. Generally, a person is saved and then filled with the Holy Ghost. That normally takes place later on in life. But he had the unusual experience of knowing the infilling of the Spirit from the mother's womb. So to be filled with the Spirit, we reckon and believe that he had to be regenerated by the Spirit to begin with. So born again of the Spirit, even in his mother's womb. So those things are recorded in the scriptures for our learning, to teach us, men and women. And there's great comfort and great encouragement in that truth. I read to you tonight from Hebrews chapter 12. The opening section, the opening verse of that chapter speaks about, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. One of the ideas behind those words is that the redeemed in heaven are looking down upon us. Remember the picture there, and it's a picture that Paul often used in the New Testament of the athletics, the Olympic Games, that were so popular way back then, even in New Testament times, in their early beginnings. And the idea of the compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses is like the grandstand, whenever the races are taking place, and those that are looking on, and those that are cheering on the participants, will remember that the grandstands, as it were, is those that are in heaven, and they're looking down upon us. Sometimes it's asked, do the people in heaven know what is taking place on earth? I emphasize to you that their knowledge in heaven has not diminished. That's a truth worthy of our consideration. Sometimes the question is asked, shall we know one another in heaven? Do you remember I've told you before about the dear Christian lady that was dying? Asked her husband that, do you think I'll know you in heaven? He said, dear, do you think I'll be more stupid in heaven than I am now? Don't I know you now? Do you not think I'll know you in heaven? Our knowledge, men and women, will not diminish in heaven. If anything, our knowledge will increase. And that verse, so great a cloud of witnesses, gives the indication that those in heaven are looking down. They're watching. Certainly when a soul is saved, it says that there's rejoicing among the angels of heaven. So when a soul is saved, the souls in heaven have the knowledge of what has happened, of that soul and who that soul is. So that's a solemnizing thought, that those in heaven are looking down upon us. Maybe some of your loved ones that have gone before. You think of this as Mother's Day, maybe a dear godly mother that had such an influence in your life, looking down from heaven upon you. Mr. Moody preached on one occasion in Dublin. There's some very interesting stories about D.L. Moody's ministry in Dublin. It was when he was in Dublin that Henry Varley, the English evangelist, said to him those famous words, the world is yet to see what God can do in and with and for and through a man who is fully consecrated to himself. Moody was preaching in the great exhibition hall in Dublin on one occasion, and in the course of his message, he was speaking that night about heaven. And he said to the congregation, maybe there's a mother that is up in heaven looking down on this great gathering. And he's looking down upon a daughter. Or that mother is looking down upon a daughter here. And she's longing and expecting you to be saved in this meeting. Come to Christ for salvation. And as he uttered those words, just as the preacher sometimes does, he lifted his hand in the course of his address, and his hand was stretched out in the direction of a young lady. He didn't do it deliberately. It's just the way it happened to me, the spontaneous lifting of his hand as he spoke. But that young lady took as if he was addressing her. What happened as well in that meeting, the young lady's father was still alive. He wasn't sitting with his daughter that night, sitting in a different place. He noticed as Mr. Moody lifted his hand, and he thought, Lord, the preacher is just, as he spoke those words, directed his hand in the direction of my daughter. And he cried to God. Remember, we can pray silently in the meetings, what are sometimes called telegram prayers. He lifted his heart to God and said, Lord, apply those words. Apply what the preacher just said to the heart of my dear daughter. And he was quite anxious for the remainder of the meeting as Mr. Moody preached. And whenever the meeting was over, he rose and went over immediately to where his daughter was sitting, saw her face wet with her tears. God had spoken to her heart. She thought of her dear mother in heaven. She thought of the fact that out of Christ she'd never see her mother again. And in that meeting that night, she cried to God for mercy, and She asked her father, they went up to the front to speak to Mr. Moody and wanted to tell him what had happened. And she prayed and asked the Lord, just as a young girl, how the Lord would have her to serve him. So I pray in this meeting tonight, maybe the same is true, somebody here, and you've been thinking of your dear departed mother today, no longer with you. Think of the things she taught you. We sometimes speak about been taught the gospel from our mother's knee. Mother sat you on her knee and sang some lovely gospel songs to you and taught you the scriptures. And maybe you're still not saved after all these years. And you remember so clearly, so vividly. Maybe even as you sit in the meeting tonight, you can hear your mother's voice and the things that she said. May God still use that influence and her witness to bring you to Christ. She's looking down from heaven tonight. And her longing is that you will come to know Christ. Remember that great truth, that if you die without the Saviour, you'll never see your mother again. You know the first mother mentioned in the New Testament scriptures is Mother, or Mary, the mother of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. That's the first mention of mother in the New Testament scriptures. Let me remind you, there's a phrase that's sometimes used, especially by Roman Catholics, the mother of God. That's an unscriptural term. I want to make that clear to you today on this Mothering Sunday. Mary was not the mother of God. Mary was the mother of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God from all eternity, from before the hills in order stood or earth received their frame. That word that's in our authorized version, begotten, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Monogenes is the Greek word. It's the eternal generation of the Son. He was the Son of God from all eternity. And he was manifest in the flesh through the great miracle of the virgin birth. She was not the mother of God. It never used that term. So I want to emphasize to you that the first mother you read about was a saved mother. Remember that she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. So I urge upon every mother here tonight, and upon every person, you need to be saved. You need to come to Christ. Our sister told of that day, as a young girl, that she came to receive Christ as her Saviour, maybe 11 years of age at the time. Well, I want to urge you, whatever age you might be tonight, you've waited long enough already. So I urge you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight. Well, what a difference that would make as you go from the service, and you'd always remember Mother's Day on the year 2024, because you would remember this Mother's Day as the day of your salvation. 273, we'll sing two verses as we close. It's a great hymn of invitation. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. The verses 1 and 3 of the hymn 273 will stand as we sing in place.
Oh. Father, we thank you for this meeting. Thank you for your presence with us. Help given to her sister as she's spoken to us and testified. We thank you, Father, for the grace given for all of those very, very difficult experiences and dark days. We're mindful tonight of the words of the Saviour, that what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Pray, Father, that you'll use our sister's testimony. Thank you for speaking already through it. We pray that it will be a help, an encouragement, even a challenge to some in this meeting and those that have listened into the service. We ask thee, Father, that it will please thee even to save in this meeting tonight. We ask for the hand of God and blessing. We pray that you'll help us, Father, to think of things eternal, and especially those who are not right with God. Our cry would be that this very night they will settle the matter of their soul's salvation and be able to say as they go from this meeting, it is well with my soul. We want, Father, to commit ourselves into your keeping. Pray for your presence, not just as we leave the meeting, but through this week in all its circumstances and experiences. Pray you'll use us. Help us to be a witness to the glory of our God. And our prayer now is that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.